the giant, and the giant cursed him. So the next thing David did, 17-year-old boy, figure this out, 17 years old, ruddy face, went up to the giant and says, today I'm going to kill you, cut your head off, and feed you to the buzzards, along with your Palestinians. What did he do? He spoke, he had faith, and it manifested. What that means is faith-filled words make it happen. Right? So number two was, the spirit or faith we're born with, but it's not something we feel, it's a spirit. We often go around and say, I feel faith. No. It's a spirit. It comes upon us and works on us. Number three is when favoritism. Joseph, Moses, Abraham, Ruth, Mary, they all had favor in their life. And one day, I went out to my propane tank and I said, you know, all I ever do is feed this tank. And God looked at me or saw me and he said, what are you going to do about it? Well, I said, I'm praying about it. He says, we have angels all around the world, millions of them, that are folding their hands waiting for us to do the job. Speak it. Call on God. So I laid my hand on that propane tank. A week later, I came back, lifted the lid. It was still at the same level. It didn't move. Praise God. So I let it go. Another three came back. It didn't move. So one day, I called up the propane people and I said, I want you to put $250 credit in my tank. That was last week. I came back on Sunday when we dropped off. I said, I'm going to check my tank. Guess what was in my tank? The bill was in the door for $250. I had a full tank. Free. Favoritism. 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 You say favor in the morning, in the afternoon, going out and coming back. So here I wrap it up. When, Joseph was thrown into the pit by his brothers because they were so angry and jealous at him, and then the tradespeople came by and took him to Egypt, he just didn't, it wasn't a matter of fact that the people came by and picked him up. He was bumped by God to go down to Egypt, have favor with the jail keeper and Pharaoh. That is how God works. He sends us and he bumps us place to place. Right? Folks, we got to get in tune because the Lord's coming very quickly. We're on the doorstep now. Lord showed me there a week ago in my spirit how close it really is. He's at the door. He's ready to open the door. So we've got to stand up every day and praise his name. Worship him. Honor him. Stand up and praise him. Even this church, 5 minutes, worshiping God in this church, praising him, his holy name. He's God. I don't want to stand in front of God in his throne room and say, what did you do? Well, you know, I said this and I said that. No. We got to stand there and say, come in, thou faithful servant. We need to do this. So those are the things he's told me. Remember, ask God for a favor. He's ready to give it to you. But you've got to honor him and love him and worship him. Praise God. I could dance right now.
Amen.
You know?
That's
Thank
good.
You.
Thank
oh,
you.
No problem.
Thank you. Thank you, buddy. I'm glad you're talking to God finally.
Just want to let everybody know I got myself in debt there a year or two ago, and I've been put the list on the fridge, and every time I walk by, I just say, thank you, Jesus, that all my bills are paid in full. Well, they're not paid in full still, but the thing is that a friend of mine, she said to me, she said, Bonnie, you're doing so much for Haiti, and I want to give you something for you. And I said, oh, well, that's nice. And she said, well, you just give me your account number because she doesn't live here. And I said, yeah, okay. I mean, people, I didn't have to worry about anybody taking anything out anyway, cause, you know. So I gave her my bank account number, and she sent me a text and said, it's done. I went in, and, you know, I was thinking, oh, maybe she'd give me $100, whatever. And this is where I start crying. There was $5,000 in my bank account towards, and, you know, praise God. That was God.
It's wonderful.
You know, years ago, I'm just going to tell a crazy story, because when people usually hear stories like your propane tank, they think you're crazy, right? No, I'm just telling you. Like 99% of people in here would think he's loony, right? I don't mean think he's loony, but think, like, why would you pray for your propane? Not here. What I'm saying is, but God, see, God is a God. I'm just being honest. Like, I'm not a normal pastor, okay? God, the Bible says, what things soever you desire when you pray, you believe it, and you'll receive it. God doesn't put limits on there, but we've limited God in our life in different areas, right? And I grew up one way, like, thinking that if I didn't work, you know, then God couldn't do something. So, I mean, we all have our own ideals, but we don't want to limit God in our life. And the reason I say this, because I want to tell a story, because this is a true story. I tell a lot of stories, but this is true. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. You know, when you're a preacher, you got to make things sound. No. This is true, and I don't even, Julie and I have always been givers all our life. We've always tried to help the poor when we didn't have a lot. We've always tried to do what we could with what we have. We didn't wait till we had a lot of money, till we started to give or started to help or started to do this. And I don't know what we did, but we ended up owing, it wasn't a lot of money. Today, it wasn't a lot of money. But what was that, $15,000? And do you know why we owed $15,000? She said stupid. So anyways, and that's when I came and started working at the church. And so I was not, I'm telling this because I heard my dad tell a story as well of God putting a track on in the middle of the woods. And my dad wouldn't lie. Like my dad was, I think he was building a road, and he was miles down in the middle of nowhere, and his track came off. And he said, God, I'll be in here forever. And you got to help me. And my dad said, when he asked God to help him, he said the track came off the ground, and it came up, and he drove into it. And it snapped in. Do you remember? Is that right, Uncle Sanford? When I was little, I remember my dad talking about that. And I remember my dad another time. The reason I'm saying this is because I think there's people in here that maybe need miracles. And don't be afraid, or don't think that, don't limit God is what I'm saying. We're normal people, but don't limit God. And it could be something that you don't even realize. But I remember another time my dad said he was stuck down over a hill, and he tried for hours to get out. And then all of a sudden he said, Lord, I got to get out of here. Am I telling this right, Pearl? Mom was with him, and they prayed. And all of a sudden, he said, Lord, you've given us angels to help us, and we need to get out of here. And my dad said it was almost like when he gave the gas, it was like thrusted him up the hill. And I've just seen so many stories over my life, and I've heard, I used to look over to, do you remember, how many people remember Full Gospel? I used to go with my dad and listen to my dad tell the same kind of stories. Miracles. Like my sister. Another one. Another miracle. My sister was born. Was born, but before she was born, the doctor brought my mom in. Pearl was the very first baby. And about 2 weeks before you were born, my mom went to the doctors, and they said, you have a tumor. The size of a baseball? A grapefruit, my dad said. The size of a grapefruit, and your baby can't be born. And the only reason I'm just saying this because it was just when Ron was talking, my mind was saying, like I'm trying to think what other people would think. But I see God's a God of miracles. And see, we limit God with our mind or with our thinking or with, and if you got $100, you don't have to pray for God to fill your propane tank. What I'm saying is, but there's people that are at their limit and they don't know what to do. They've done what they can do, like the woman with the issue of blood. She spent all the money she had. She did everything she could. And then she came down to Jesus and said, Jesus, help me. That's what I'm talking about. If you're at the end of your road today, and you don't know where else to turn, just turn to him. Because my dad always told this story, and I used to go to Full Gospel, and I used to go, and I used to listen to my dad tell these stories, and I would watch people, and nobody believed my dad. There was a few people that would believe him, but most of them just thought my dad was just lying. Because they don't believe that God's real. And my dad came home from working the way I remember it. Because he was working, was he working in the woods or something? You tell it. Uncle Sanford was there. Cause
you tell it.
About the baby?
Yeah.
The Lord's been speaking to me this week about giving my testimony. Yeah, it was just before Pearl was born, and Ward came and said, I was the elder of the church at that time. He said, we want to pray for, I want you to come down and pray for Josephine, for her. And he told me what the problem was, and I went down, and we prayed James 5, 13 and 14 and 15. And you call for the elders of the church and anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and God will raise them up. And I just prayed a short prayer. We went in, we anointed right at in the doorstep. We anointed Josephine with oil and prayed a short prayer and asked them to remove that tumor. And she went back on the next day. They were going to do it. They were going to take Pearl by cesarean because of this tumor, and they went back and done another check, and they couldn't find a tumor. And a week later, Pearl was born normally without cesarean. And because of that miracle, when I last November. I was diagnosed with bowel cancer, lower bowel cancer, and it didn't bother me when they told me about it, but I just I went along with what they said, and anyway, and the doctor wanted to do some more tests, but I never did get to do the test until January. I think it was January or February, but they done an MRI and another CAT scan, and they said that the tumor had got too big, they couldn't operate on it by that time, and she said, you'd have to go to have chemo, and I said, I don't want to take chemo. And anyway, she talked me into talking to the oncologist, and they called me up a few days later and wanted me to make an appointment. I said, cancel it, I'm not going to take it. And that's when I called for the elders of the church to pray for me. And then I went in, and that Sunday we went in the back room there, and they prayed that the Lord would look after that tumor. And I went back to see the doctor, and I told her that. She said, why didn't you go for that chemotherapy? And I said, well, I give her my testimony that what happened at the church and how that the Lord had, I give her, told her about James 5 and 14 and 15, and I said we had the elders pray for me, and I believe that the Lord has removed that cancer. And she said, well, you have your, I'm not knocking it. She said, you can go do whatever you want, but I'm still here, and I thank the Lord for healing me. And I don't feel any problems, and that's been a year ago now. So I just give God the glory. Wonderful.
And I just tell you that God is real. And we limit God in our mind. And so then we limit God with our faith. And I've done this sometimes because I think not in line with God sometimes. So I think like the way people think. You got to do this, you got to do this. But I grew up in a home where I seen miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle our whole life. Like when Uncle Sanford prayed for my mom, not only did the tumor go, but they said that she'd never have kids again. But because they had to, when the tumor had to go, they had to remove all her female organs. But God took that away. She was born normally, and then she had my brother and I. See, God's real. And we can't limit God in our lives. We've all seen things that it looks like it doesn't work in people's lives. But we're not called to look at what happens in life and base our faith on that. We're called to look at the Bible and base our faith on that. And be fully persuaded. I just want to read here. I got to find it because I wasn't planning on anything like this. But I want to tell you this because this is true. This happened to Julie and I. So I got down with God. I told you we owed about $15,000. And all I was doing, because I was making $200 a month or a week, sorry. Like we weren't making anything for a year because I came to work for the church. And I don't ever tell this story either. Like, it's not something I tell everywhere I go to encourage people because I think most people don't believe you when you tell it anyways. Just like my little girl. I see my Rebecca. Rebecca's not even here. But I see my little girl fall out of my vehicle. Completely fall out of my car, me doing 50 mile an hour. Because she grabbed the door handle. I didn't have her in her booster seat. I didn't have her in a car seat. I didn't have her in a seatbelt. I had three kids in my half ton. And when I was going around the corner this way, and when she just lifted the door handle, and the centrifugal force of me going this way flung the door open, and her hand was on the door handle and pulled her right outside. And I yelled, Jesus. And I thought she was dead. And the next thing I know, her feet were in the floorboards. Her hands were stretched out, so she was going from upright to like this. And the next thing I knew, she was like this
in the middle of the air outside the vehicle. And her hand was still on the doorknob. Now, I shared that on national TV because I didn't care, because I don't, like, I can't, other than my daughter Rebecca, or Kylie was there, she saw it, and John was there. I don't know if John remembers it, but Kylie does. You remember, don't you, Kylie? She never hit the ground. Even when I stopped, she never hit the ground. I ran out, ran around the vehicle, and I took her out of the middle of the air, in between the floorboard and the door, out here, right there. I don't tell stories. I don't say stuff like that all the time. I don't know, other than God did tell me why, because I said, why would you do this for me? Because this is completely a miracle. But the Bible says, I think, in Hebrews, and the reason I'm saying this is because we need to expect God to be God. God wants to be God in our lives. God wants to be a daddy. I'm a daddy. Our God is our daddy. And me as a human daddy, I love my kids. I want to see good for my kids. I want to help my kids. And how much more does he want to do stuff for us? And Jesus said here in Hebrews, I got to find it first. In Hebrews, I just went by it. It says in Hebrews chapter, I think it's 1, in verse 13. And the Bible says here, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make my enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who are heirs of salvation? Now, I'm saying that because I don't live, like when I go outside and I work every day and I talk to you and I talk to people, I don't talk like a weirdo. Like, and I don't talk like I'm in the spirit out in the world. And like, but the truth is, we have angels that are there to help us. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. He said here, are they not all ministering spirits? Right. So angels are ministering spirits, right? And what does it say? Who are they sent forth to? They are sent forth to minister for them who are what? Heirs of salvation. So we have angels that are there to help you and I that are heirs of salvation. So there's helpers. Do you remember the story? And maybe Ron even said this, I don't even know. But do you remember the story in the Bible where Elijah was with, who was he with? When they were over the city wall and they were surrounded. He was with his servant Gehazi, right? And Gehazi said, we're starving, we're in famine now. What are we going to do? Now what are we going to do? What are we going to do, Mr. Prophet? There's armies around us, they've starved us out, we've got no food, we got no strength, we can't even fight our way out, and they put us in siege. What are we going to do now? And he said, Lord, I pray that you open his eyes that he can see. And the Bible says Gehazi began to see, and the armies behind the armies of God, were full of ministering spirits or angels. And the very next day, God delivered them out of that. And they had spoil. They had food, and not one person was killed. Except the one that didn't believe. That's right. He didn't get to eat, did he? And the reason I'm saying this stuff is because the Spirit of God just went on me, because some of us think that we're limited to just what I can do. And God is bigger than you. He's bigger than you. I just seen so much in my life. Do you remember when John? I just think of this stuff. My little boy back there. He's bigger than me, I think, now. Just because he has spiked hair. But how old was he when he fell in the pool? He fell in the pool. And we were all out the pool. And we didn't notice. And then all of a sudden, Julie looked around and says, "Where's John?" And he was gone. And Julie looked at the bottom of the pool, and he was in the bottom of the pool. So I think we both jumped in, but you got him, didn't you? No, I got him. She didn't get far. She was in the pool, but she didn't get far. And I grabbed him, we pulled him out, and he was blue. And he wasn't breathing. And I didn't know what to do, and Julie was freaking out. And I just grabbed him, and I said, "Jesus." And I just turned him upside down, and I just started beating him. And I was a fireman and a paramedic, and I even knew the right things to do, but I didn't do any of it. Because I wasn't thinking, your boy's black, he's not breathing. And I just turned him up by one leg, and I started beating his back. And I started yelling, "Jesus, help us." Right? And all of a sudden, he's just water came out of him. I'm not saying if I didn't say Jesus, that might have happened too. But I've just seen God help me so much in my life. And he started to breathe. And he's here today. So coming back, don't limit God in your life. Don't limit God in your life. Because Julie, I said to the Lord, "Lord, we've been givers. Now listen to me. I have never in my life, and if anybody knows me, so you hear me out when I'm talking like this. I have never expected something for nothing. And it sort of hindered me a little bit. Because my dad always told me, if you don't work, you don't eat. Like, I don't work for people on the lakes and think, what can I get of theirs? Because they got more money than me. Or they're driving a nice car. I should drive a nice car because they're driving a nice car. They should give me money. I've never thought like that because I know that my dad said, if you work, you'll live. God will bless what you put your hand to. So I've always just worked and had believed God will bless it. So I'm not looking for something for nothing from anybody. But I said to the Lord, "Lord, I'm working for you. I've been a giver. I'm a tither. And I'm not telling him how good I am. I'm just saying to him, I've done everything I know what to do. And I'm asking you, Lord, to help me pay this debt off. Because when you're making $200 or $300 a week, and you've got one or two kids and a house, and you're trying to pay for it and pay for taxes, and sure, you understand, you don't have nothing left when you're making $800 a month. So how do you pay? You pay three. I was paying interest is all I was paying on it. It was only $15,000. And so I went, what was it, about 8 months later, I got a statement in the bank from the bank. This is true. And for my loan, and said it was paid. Zero balance. That's what it said. And I thought, what great man of faith I am. Well, they made a mistake. So I went to the bank. And I went to the bank. And I went in and I said, I took the letter with me. And I said, I got this bank here. And they said, I had a loan for $15,000. I know what it was now.
It was that stupid white car that we wanted. That great big... Anyways, it was just stupid. Anyways, it was a big, I don't even know. It was a stupid big boat. I don't know. It was just dumb. I was dumb, stupid. Don't spend money that you don't have just to look good. Like, anyways, because it didn't pay off. It wasn't a blessing to us. The thing was a hard on gas. We couldn't drive anywhere. It was, anyways, I went into the bank and I said to God, God, I'm sorry. We've been so stupid. And you know what happened? She said, no, I don't think it's paid for because I didn't pay it. She said, it's paid for. She said that that's been paid. And she went in transaction and we never told a soul. Like, it wasn't that I told my mom and dad. And told, because I didn't want people to know how stupid I was. She said, no, it was paid on this day. To this day, I still haven't got a clue who paid it. I know my mom and dad didn't pay it. And we never told anybody that we had this loan. It's gone. I say that's a miracle. Right? God did that. We asked him to. I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting to work, God to bless me, and me be able to pay it off. But God did it different than I thought. It was pretty easy. Yes? All right. Yeah. That's awesome. Woo! That's great. So, just don't limit God is all I guess I'm trying to say is I've seen so many miracles in my life that God promises. And it doesn't mean that we be foolish. I don't go out and borrow money that I can't pay back and just, okay, I'm going to need a miracle. I don't mean that. But there's things that you can't do anything about in your life. Maybe there's things in your body that you've done everything you can do. You're like the woman with the issue of blood. Maybe there's things in your family that you could fix if you could, but you can't. I don't know, but don't limit God. Don't limit God. I want to read this. I got to find it first. I think it's in Numbers, and you know this because I've said this before. But I only got a few minutes, and I want to read this because this sort of goes along with exactly with what the way this morning went. In Numbers chapter 13, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send men that they may search the land of Canaan,
which I give unto the children of Israel. So I'm going to stop there because you know the story. And for time's sake, I don't want to read the whole thing. But God said, I want you to send men to look at the land of Canaan, which I have given them. Now, I'm going to say this to you because I believe this. Is the promises of God yes and amen? Did Jesus take the stripes on his back for our healing? Did he? Did Jesus take the stripes on his back for our healing? Did Jesus go to hell that we don't have to go to hell? Was he scourged and the Bible says he was mocked? See, there's people that think they're ugly and they think that they're useless and they have such a low self-esteem. But God, Jesus said he took everything upon himself that we don't have to carry that weight. So he took that so you could be free. The way that we receive from God is not because you're a good person or you're not a good person. The way we receive from God is simply by faith. Because I think it says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. I'd like to read the whole thing, but it says this. And I'm saying this because you have to know this if you're going to receive from God miracles or anything. The Bible says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. Are we under the law? No, we're not. The Bible says that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So everybody in this world is guilty before God, right? Because of the law, because nobody can keep the law. Have I ever looked at somebody and lusted after their stuff? Yeah, I probably have. That makes me a sinner or guilty under the law. Have I ever had pride? Have I ever stole from the government? I'm guilty in different ways, okay? I'm just saying. So the Bible says this. So it's not because of your works that you receive from God. The Bible says this. It says that, so therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So your works, see, even though many people think if they go to church, because I thought like this, and this is why I'm saying this. I said to God one day, how come I have no money? I go to church every week. I cut the church grass. I'm serving my dad at church. And I thought that God was going to bless me because I went to church and I was a good person. But I didn't realize that I wasn't perfect. And that I was basing God doing something for me because of how good I was. But the Bible says in God's eyes, there's nobody justified by the deeds of the flesh. None. You know what? You want to be thankful. Because every one of us can come to God by faith, not because of how good we are. And the Bible says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law, even the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. Now, I'd like to get into what faith is. And then it goes into say in Romans chapter 4 and 1, it begins to talk about what faith is. It's because of God's mercy or grace in verse 4 and 16, it says, therefore it is of faith, that it may be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all thy seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that to also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So anyways, faith is literally taking what somebody says and believing it. And that's how we receive from God. So I'm saying this, so we don't get healed because we're a good person. We don't get to come to Jesus because we've lived perfect. Because if we live perfect, you don't need Jesus. We're all human beings and we've all made mistakes, and that's why we all need to come to Jesus, and we all have the ability to come to Jesus because of Him. And that's why individually John Trotter has a hard time with self-righteous people that think they're better than other people, because I know that they can't get to heaven on their own. Because they think because they haven't done what I did, they're better than me. But their own self-righteousness has made them just the same as me. Because the Bible says in James, if you break one, you broke them all. And that's why everybody in the world needs Jesus. And everybody can come boldly to the throne of grace and receive Jesus and by faith. Now, I'm back to where we were in a minute ago. And I want to read this very quick in Numbers 14, where God said, and I'm saying this because I want you to know this, where the Bible says this is in chapter 13, God, Jesus, or the Lord spake to Moses and said, I want you to send men. And I want you to send, and I'm asking you this question so I don't have to read the whole thing. God said, I want you to send men to the land that I've given you. Right? So did God give them the land? Yes. But they still had to, by faith, take it. Walk that out. That's where the rubber meets the road with some people. Because when your body hurts, how do you carry on? When everything looks like it's not working, how do you carry on? Now, and I want to say this because you know this. Remember when Jesus sent men and the congregation in chapter 14 and verse 1, Numbers 14 and verse 1, all the congregation lifted their voices and they cried and the people wept all night and the children of Israel murmured against Moses. Why? Because they went in, but God said, now listen, God said, this is your land I've given you. I want you to go look at it. The people went, the people came back and said, they're giants. They're huge. They got big walls. They got city walls that we can't beat. So people then went by what they saw, by what they heard, and by what they felt, by their physical senses, and they did not go by what God said. Now, you and I know, if you've read this, that two people, Joshua and Caleb, that's why I have a Joshua and Caleb. I had a John first, which was first, and then Joshua and Caleb. They're my three favorite people in the Bible. No, it is. I learned so much from John, and I love Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because they didn't go by what they saw. They went by faith. And they said, if God said it's ours, let's go and get it. And they had to wait till they were 80 years old to get it. Because they weren't allowed to go. And at 80 years old, do you think they were strong and powerful to go get it on their own? No, because it wasn't them that was doing it. It was God, but God needs faith. Faith is something that walks ahead. Now, this is what I wanted to end with this, and I'll end with this because I just wanted to end with this because it's 12 o'clock. Don't limit God in your life. Now here, I read this, and this you already know this because I've said this before. But in verse 27 of chapter 14, it says, how long am I going to bear with this evil congregation? Now, God called this congregation an evil congregation. What did this evil congregation, what made them evil? They didn't believe. That's all it was.
And they said with their mouth, we can't, they're bigger than us, we'll never go to the land. So I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they've murmured against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do. So if you've spoken, so will I do. Then it goes on to say, he says, your carcasses are going to fall in the wilderness and you're not going to see the promised land. So, and I'm going to carry on because, and he says, your carcasses and then your children are going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years and bury your whoredoms until your cases be wasted in the wilderness. So their faith had everything to do with their life. They chose not to believe and they never entered in. They never entered into the promised land. And then the Bible says this, and I was so shocked when I read this. And I read this, I preached this for 10 years before I ever saw this. It says, after the number of days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall you bear your iniquities, even these 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. Now look, I looked at what that meant in the Greek, and now it's in my Bible right here beside me. Because it says it right here. But breach? See, because God promised them the land, but they're not in the land. And if most people just read this, they would think that, and you shall know my breach of promise. Because he told them they were going to have the land, but now they're not having the land. Because they had something to do with getting into the land. They have to believe. Now the Bible says this. They altered my purpose for their life. That's what breach means. It's right here in my Bible. They altered my purpose for their life. I promised them the land, but they wouldn't believe. And so they, me, John Trotter, can alter God's plan for my life. God's plan for my life is to be rich, to be an heir, to be healthy, to be happy, to be strong, to be everything. And the Bible says that if they could, John Trotter can alter God's plan for his life. And if I go back and read what the difference was here, the only thing that they did different than what we do is either you either believe God or you don't believe God. And they weren't, you know what? And they weren't even bad people. They were normal. Like, how would you want to go for a fight with an 8 foot, I wouldn't want to fight. I was at a game the other day, and this dad is 6 foot nine and 350 pounds. And I felt really weird. Because I was standing beside him, and I'm not a big man, but I'm not a little man either, you know. And this guy, he's a landscaper too, and so we always talk about stuff, but he's up in Halliburton. And he's a dad, my son and his son play together, and the guy's 6 foot nine, but he's like this, right? So I come up to his right here, up to his chest, and we're talking about a rock saw, and I'm like, oh yeah? And he's like, yeah? Oh yeah? And I feel weird. Like, it was just weird. Like, I was under his armpit. Like, now, I wouldn't want to just go ahead and just fight a guy like him. Just to fight him. So I understand what they're saying. Like, why would I want to go and die? Right? Because this guy's got hands. Three of my hands. So, but either you got to go with what God says and not even think about it, or you got to go with what you feel and see, and you're going to have limited things in your life. Because if you could have done it, you already would have. And that's where we need God. Don't limit God. Don't alter God's plan for your life. Just agree with God. Even if you can't wrap your mind around it, just keep your mouth shut and say the right things. and just agree with God. I don't even know what else to say. Don't limit God in your life. I don't want to alter God's plan for my life. I don't. And I'm gonna close, but I feel this, and I'm gonna close. We're gonna pray. I want Uncle Sanford to come, and I want to pray, Uncle Sanford, me for Frank. We're gonna anoint you with oil today, if you want. And we're gonna believe God for a miracle. For him. And we're just going to thank God from this day on. Because that's what faith is. I already believe that God's worked in him. I'm already standing. But somebody has to believe God. Somebody does. And we're Christians. So many people don't believe God. They're Christians and they love God, but they don't. They just go with what life brings them. And you don't have to. You don't. So if you come, Uncle Sanford, we just want to anoint him with oil and we'll just pray for him. He did.